My name is, like Ashley told me, as he mentioned, I am a member of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde from Oregon. So Detroit is not my home, but I have been in various different urban health settings. So what I wanted to talk to you guys today was just to give a little bit of an overview of what the healthcare situation in Indian Country is, as kind of a precursor to why we're talking about tribal health departments in conjunction with the academic health departments. So one of the things that we always talk about is, you know, creating a sense of knowledge. One of the major myths that exists in terms of healthcare is that all American Indians and Alaska Natives receive free healthcare from the Indian Health Services. In reality, IHS is not accessible to all. Location is very key as to what services are available, if any. So for instance, in Michigan, we have no access to the hospital care that some of the other states may have when they have IHS hospitals. And then there are some locations where they don't even have clinical access, depending on where they live. The programs are significantly underfunded, which I'll go into in a little bit more detail on the next couple slides about what that funding levels actually look like. And a lot of our facilities are outdated, so that's a major issue. The other challenge that really exists is that, you know, we have over 560 tribes, federal tribes, that have to provide health care for, and they're very diverse. They're not the same, and again, there's a lot of geographical differences. So as far as the history and the legal background of why healthcare for Indians is important or why it exists, in its early years, it actually started in 1832 with vaccination programs. Then there were things came along with the treaties, basically we'll take your land but we'll give you healthcare kind of thing, that was created, that really created the historical background for providing healthcare. Originally, the care was provided through the War Department, and then it went through various different transitions through the creation of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and finally in 1955, Indian Health Services was created. As far as the legal background, there's a lot of different acts that have come into play that really talk about the need or the mandating kind of the provision of care for this population. There actually is stuff in the U.S. Constitution, the Snyder Act of 1921, Transfer Act of 1954. We have things like the Sanitation Facilities and Service Act, which may not sound like it involves health care, but it does. The Indian Self-Determination Act, an Education Act, and the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, and also the Indian Alcohol and Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act. So there's lots of different legal backgrounds for the Indian Health Services system. So what is the Indian Health Care Improvement Act? It was originally created in 1976, and what this said was that federal health services to maintain and improve the health of Indians are consonant with and required by the federal government's historical and unique legal relationship with and resulting responsibility to the American Indian people. Sounds pretty straightforward. Doesn't always translate to exactly what you would think means providing health care. There were a lot of reauthorizations of this act. Prior to 2010, it actually had expired in 2000. So we went through a 10-year period where this act was not reauthorized. It was finally permanently reauthorized as a part of the Affordable Care Act. So that's a little-known fact that some people really don't know, that that was part of, kind of tied into the Affordable Care Act with some other smaller things as well. It is important to remember that just because this act exists, it does not mean that there's funding. All the act does is authorize Congress to expend the funds. It does not guarantee any funds and does not provide any levels for funding necessarily. So again, it's just kind of Congress has the right to do this, doesn't mean they're going to necessarily. So as far as what Indian Health Services, this is a map of all the different Indian Health Services areas. They are broken up into what we call service areas. So coming from Michigan, I'm in the Bemidji area up there. I'm a little warm here. It's too cold. where I'm from. So what makes up Indian Health Services? There's both federal facilities, tribal facilities, and urban facilities. So within those federal facilities, there's 28 hospitals. So again, that's based on geographical regions, so there are lots of regions that are left without a hospital. I think, for instance, like Oregon, Washington, California, Idaho, all that whole corner of the U.S. does not have a hospital. There are 61 health centers and 34 health stations, and those are all the federal run facilities. There's also tribal facilities that are done by tribal compact or self-determination. There's an additional 17 hospitals with that, 249 health centers or clinics. There's 164 Alaska Village clinics and 70 health stations. And then there's the urban facilities, like mine, which there are a total of 33 of them scattered throughout the U.S. So as far as the eligibility requirements, they do differ depending on the facility. The general requirements are that you have to be a member of a federally recognized tribe. Many facilities, including the urban clinics, do provide care to descendants, so it's to the second degree. So if your grandparent was a tribal member, you can still get services if you can show that linkage to that grandparent. And there's also unique challenges with state-recognized tribes in California in those definitions. So in the last year, in 2014, there was approximately 2.2 million American Indians and Alaska Natives served through the Indian Health Services system. Again, that represents 566 federally recognized tribes. There was a total of 445,907 inpatient admissions, so that's all the hospital care, and over 13 million outpatient visits. So you can see the majority of the care that's provided through the Indian Health System is through outpatient care. Many facilities also see non-natives, and they rely on the third-party billing and other resources to provide that coverage. So as far as the Indian Health Services appropriations, in fiscal year 2014, the entire Indian Health Services received about $4.4 billion. We did see an increase in 2014 of $0.3 billion from the previous year, so that was a pretty big accomplishment. Sounds like a lot of money, but when you actually look at what the healthcare expenditures are between the other federally funded programs like Medicare, national expenditures in general, veterans care, Medicaid, and even federal prisons, you can see that you can get better health care if you go into the federal prison system. So in 2012, the health care expenditures for a federal prison person was $4,817 compared to Indian Health Services, which was $2,741 per person. So there's definitely a huge disparity in the funding amounts. Another thing to point out, especially in the urban settings, even though about 60% of Natives live off of a reservation, those 33 urban Indian clinics receive 1% of the entire IHS budget to provide care. So there's a huge disparity in urban health care as well. The health disparities are pretty prevalent. Life expectancy is about 4.2 years less than all of the U.S. All races population. This is the general number. When you look at different regions, those numbers can change quite a bit. As far as looking at the causes of death, American Indians, Alaska Natives are about 1.2 times more likely to die from heart disease, 2.4 times more likely to die from unintentional injuries, 2.8 times more likely to die from diabetes, and the highest one was chronic liver disease at 4.7 times the rate.